everybody. Welcome to Fired Up California. I am William Del Pilar, your Californian conservative Latino, breaking down some of the bigger stories as well as some that have gone under the radar. Tonight, Family Preparedness Plan Act of 2025, a.k.a. AB 495. Newsom's meme war for trolling and Bed Bath & Beyond, a no-go for California. Then in our Cali Blitz, we dive into Representative Mean, Illegals, and Adam Schiff. But before we begin, do not forget to click the thumbs up and like while you listen. And make sure you bookmark grumbliesmedia.com and check out our new swag we have that you can order and purchase and help support our all-volunteer cause. Then follow us on your favorite platform like YouTube, Rumble, Apple, Spotify, under the handle Grumblings Media. So, let's get right into it. California AB 495 ignites a parental rights clash. So, just let me tell you a little bit about the bill introduction and its intent. It's Assembly Bill 495, and it's titled the Family Preparedness Plan Act of 2025, introduced by Assemblywoman Celeste Rodriguez. And that was this past February. Some of the co-authors, do we actually care? Well, I guess Harabedin, Kaura, Lee, Stefani, and Zebur, all Democrats. So what does the bill aim to do? Well, it aims to amend caregiver authorization affidavits. In other words, it's going to allow the courts to appoint temporary guardians, including non-relative extended family members, if parents are unavailable due to immigration actions or other emergencies. In essence, Rodriguez framed the bill as a safeguard for immigrant families, stating, quote, "We must do everything we can to safeguard families from separation and ensure children are supported," unquote. Adults who aren't related but have a close, trusted relationship with the child, like a mentor, coach, or longtime family friend, could be allowed to take the child for school-related medical care, such as shots or checkups. If parents are temporarily unavailable because of illness, military service, jail time, or immigration detention, another adult can step in as a legal co-guardian during that time without permanently taking away the parents' rights. Sounds pretty good so far, huh? The backup guardian only steps in when a specific situation happens, like hospitalization or detention, i.e. illegals getting busted. And it doesn't mean the parent is unfit or loses custody. Court records related to these guardianships are sealed from federal immigration access unless compelled by court order, meaning nobody will know who these guardians are, which is a pedophile's dream. To have the state protect them. The Scott Wiener belief system. I'm telling you, that guy's going to be busted hard one day. I'm telling you. One day we're going to find out. For now, he's skating. I don't know, but that's just what I sense. Anyway, this also mandates local educational agencies and child care facilities to adopt model policies that limit cooperation with immigrant enforcement, prohibit collecting immigration status except where legally required, report enforcement requests confidentially, provide family stop plan information at enrollment. So in essence, what this bill is doing, it's forcing private schools and child care facilities to adopt state-driven immigration policies, effectively imposing a political ideology being pushed by the Democrats through AB 495 under the guise of public safety. Regardless of whether these private institutions or facilities agree or not. In other words, the California Democrat Party, through state legislation, is forcing private businesses to help them protect illegal aliens. That's what this bill is forcing them to do. Some of the other issues we have. 495 isn't limited to immigration emergencies, as they want you to believe. It applies to any child, your white child, your black child, your legal Latino child. It applies to them for any reason. So this is going to create some legal loopholes No background checks, no welfare checks, no court oversight, or identity verification. We have been warned by attorneys with just a printed affidavit and basic ID, someone could walk away with a child. No verification is required by the adult handing the child over, meaning they just show you a sheet of paper and boom, that kid's gone. Can you say kidnapping? Temporary guardians could authorize controversial medical treatments. So let's say it's a friend of the family, a hardcore leftist Democrat. The parents don't care for this transgender nonsense. They know their kid's a kid talking nonsense. Somebody else could come and take the kid and then allow medical treatments like puberty blockers or gender transition procedures or even abortions if the parent doesn't know the child is pregnant or even if they do know the child's pregnant. Even if the parents object, this temporary guardian can override the parent. So a parent who doesn't affirm a child's gender identity could be labeled as abusive or neglectful and somebody can come in and take that kid. This is similar to SB 107. AB 495, this current bill is similar to SB 107, which allowed out-of-state minors to seek gender-related medical care in California without parental consent. Somebody could bring the kid over, sit there and say, little Joey wants his little wee-wee cut off. How old is little Joey? Little Joey's eight, but he knows he wants that wee-wee cut off. His parents could be in Texas, Tennessee, North Carolina, Nevada, somewhere else. And they're going, no, you're not going to test little Joey. And California would say, oh, yes, we are. That's what SB 107 did. And, of course, it was authored by California State Senator Scott, he who loves Wiener. Scott Wiener. He framed that bill as a trans refuge law to protect minors seeking gender-affirming care from out-of-state legal interference. And that's if he was like, cut them up, slice them up, fast them up. Oh, they don't want that. Well, they're giving the puberty blockers because that'll create the same scenario long term. That's what this bill is similar to. Critics also call AB 495 a kidnapper's dream. See, that's how I said. When I first saw Reddit, I was like, oh my God, a kidnapper could sit there and take a kid, a parent in a custody dispute, who may have lost a kid, can come in and take the kid. It opens the door for somebody just coming and taking your child. These critics warn that it allows strangers, not just, I gave you the example of the custody battle, but strangers could just take your kid under legal cover. Pastor Jack Hibbs, who's fighting this, described the bill as, quote, so bad, so dangerous, unquote, urging Californians to leave if it passes. Another lawyer called it, quote, one of the darkest, most evil bills, unquote. The bill redefines what counts as a safe home. It shifts authority from parents to state-approved guardians. Come on, people, we gotta wake up. Supporters claim parents aren't excluded, but legal experts argue the bill undermines parental rights in medical and educational decisions, which is exactly what Democrats want. Why do I say what Democrats want? They have 2/3 control of both houses at the state legislature. And obviously they got a duck with a C as the governor. That guy will jump on anything that moves, especially if it's one of his buddy's wives. That's right. I'm talking about Gavin Newsom. We're going to talk more about him shortly. So what are the next steps? Well, AB 495 passed the assembly this past June. 63 votes. 7 opposed, 10 not voting. The 10 not voting didn't want to get caught in the middle come re-election. And they were blessed by their party. Don't worry about voting. We got this one covered. That's how it works up there. So just last week, why it made the news, the bill was placed on the Senate Appropriations Committee's suspense file after unanimous 7-0 vote. Now, I've talked about the suspense file. And what that means, it can be revived with a majority vote and 2 days notice. But it's also where controversial bills often quietly die. Analysts are trying to tell you what's a fiscal burden, a litigation risk, and a court strain. And those are legitimate reasons. But the real reason, it's political. Democrats know Gavin Newsom wants to be POTUS. So the odds of him vetoing this is just as good as him passing it, because he knows this will become a national issue that will destroy his campaign. He doesn't realize it's already destroyed. But this is one of those political burying of it. So it's in legislative limbo. Opponents urging constituents to contact senators before August 29th to block its advancement. There was a big rally this past weekend, led by Pastor Jack Hibbs. Parents, grandparents, faith leaders, Christian attorneys, lawmakers such as Minority Leader James Gallagher, Senator Marie Alvarado. Why did I struggle with that one? Oh, I'm sorry, Marie Alvarado Gil. Activists. Obviously, a lot of Christians were there. Now, Gallagher said, quote, "We are fighting tyranny here in California," unquote. We are. We are a democratic socialist government or democratic authoritarian. Why? I saw this in Panama with two dictators. Don't tell me I don't know what the hell I'm looking at when I saw it firsthand. This is when I go, Americans, my brethren, citizens, I love you, but you're clueless. Y'all do not get what's happening here. And that's why Democrats can get away with a lot of stuff early on. And once it hits a fan, at times it's too late for us to do anything. It's fighting that uphill battle. Look what Prop 187 got us. We passed it, the courts stopped it, and then the courts implemented what the Democrats wanted. And we're here today with the illegals, destroying our infrastructure of social services. And that's a fact. That is not up for debate. That's a fact. AB 495, Senator Tony Strickland, quote, "One of the worst bills I have seen," unquote. And they even had some detransitioners, Chloe Cole and Luke Healy. They warned that parental rights are the last defense against a medical industry pushing irreversible procedures on minors. It's big money for hospitals. Doctors during the Biden era were making millions off this. The bill is designed to exclude parents and to violate their rights to shepherd their children. Remember Hillary Clinton? It takes a village. We own your kids. So the large crowd and the online backlash has surged. One of the slogans, it's a predator's dream. That was one of my first thoughts. Even James Woods, conservative actor who's been blackballed from Hollywood, they've amplified the criticism. California's AB 495 isn't just another bill. It's a direct assault on the sacred bond between parents and their children, wrapped in the language of compassion. Behind the facade of protecting immigrant family lies a dangerous framework. Strangers, state agents, or unrelated adults could seize control of children through unchecked loopholes. No background checks, no court oversight, just a piece of paper. Democrats claim it's about safety. We know better. This is the next phase of their agenda, where schools and agencies override parents, especially those who reject gender ideology. Refuse to affirm your child's confusion? You risk being labeled abusive, while the state greenlights irreversible treatments and taxpayers bankroll the fallout. We've seen this playbook before, my friends. Y'all don't know, but there was something, or there's an organization, hospital rather, called the Boston Children's Hospital. And that was the case that Glenn Beck exposed, where a teen girl was held for over a year because of a disputed diagnosis. The hospital labeled the parents as abusive because they wouldn't agree with their diagnosis. AB 495 takes that model statewide. You have a messy divorce, a political bumper sticker, or a single accusation, and your child could vanish into a system that answers to no one. We must demand accountability from lawmakers, and we must pressure Governor Newsom to veto this bill if it gets revived so it doesn't tear families apart. I believe the courts will eventually restore parental rights, but how many stolen childhoods will be sacrificed first? This is no different than boys beating up on girls in sports. It's been reversing, but those girls lost their moment. of glory that they worked their whole lives to achieve. This is even worse. How many operations of castration, of removing a child's member, of a girl's breast? Parents, not the state, had the right to raise their children. California's fight is America's warning. We must stay vigilant, my friends, or we will lose everything. All right. I've been told too, and I love it. We got some swag here. Grimley's Media has decided to sell some swag to raise money for our all-volunteer project. This is the classic Grimley's coffee mug. In fact, I just got mine in, and I believe, don't quote me, but we're selling them at cost right now. It looks backwards here, but I need to fix that. But it's a big 15-ounce cup. You can check it out at grumbliesmedia.com. If you have a QR code, you can check it out right there. Swipe it with your phone and head on over to Grumbly's Media and support us by ordering a cup. All right. Let's get into what I think is a fun segment here. And that is Newsom's meme meltdown when trolling Trump turns into self-parody. So California's governor, my governor, Gavin Newsom has spent the summer flooding social media with all caps rants, AI-generated memes, and Trump-style insults aimed at me and we, the conservatives. What's his goal? Well, to energize the left. But more importantly, he wants to position himself as a digital brawler that the Democrats need in 2028. Or rather, he thinks the Democrats need him. The results have been more cringe than compelling. So Newsom's posts, they mimic Trump's cadence, his personality, his way of doing political business, complete with juvenile nicknames, exaggerated punctuation, and bizarre parentheticals. He's claimed to be, quote, America's favorite governor, unquote. He's mocked J.D. Vance's eyeliner and reposted memes of himself on Mount Rushmore. His press office account has gained followers, but this engagement is driven more by mockery, not momentum, mockery. So what's the real signal of collapse here with this facade he's doing? I don't know if that's the right word, facade. But anyway, it's the replies. The replies destroy every meme. They're packed with facts. So and mockery dies when reality bites. And that's what buried Kamala, Horizontal Harris. Mockery and memes can't survive contact with facts. That's why Kamala was the worst of them. So what do you think of the Israel conflict? That was Kamala. Oh, man. Like I said, memes can't survive contact with facts. What they do, what happens is they turn the individual, in Kamala's case and in Newsom's case, into a caricature of their own spin. So Newsom's engagement spike is algorithmic. It's not organic. It's just well done social media. It makes the rounds. It's not organic. It's not like people are wanting it, loving it, spreading it out of sheer love. They spread it out of mockery. It's outrage clicks. It's not really support. He's yet to realize there's only one Trump. One Trump who has the knack and ability to do what Newsom's imitating and get away with it. Only Trump can. So the fallout, hold on, look at this. So liberal pundits are cheering Newsom's energy. The broader response has actually exposed the hollowness of the strategy. Trump fired back with a vintage True Social takedown. You know, he's named him the perfect nickname, Gavin Newsom. And he's blamed him for California's decline, which I agree with is true. Other analysts have said that Newsom's making a fool of himself. Newsom, he replied to rather his two little indoctrinated, oh my God, they're weird geeks. They replied with a caps lock meltdown to Dana Perino when she sat there and said it, which only enforces the criticism. Even MSNBC analysts admitted the posts were oddly effective at stirring up some drama, but acknowledged they're more parody than policy. And eventually, you've got to get in a posse once the campaign for president begins. What he's doing right now is branding himself. But there was also backlash. Newsom posted an AI-generated image mimicking Trump's post-assassination ear patch photo. He followed it with a parody of himself in the same pose with dramatic lighting and martyr-style framing after Trump got shot. It wasn't just conservatives, but most everybody caught it grotesque. And it's once again glorifying political violence. It trivializes what is a near-fatal event and reveals a disturbing comfort within the Democrat Party and its constituency of typical escalation we've seen in the past. Let me show you some of the mockery Newsom's dealt with. This is hilarious stuff, my friends, hilarious. So Gavin Newsom on undocumented immigrants. Undocumented immigrants don't vote in statewide elections. That Price is Right is only for U.S. citizens. What this is the GOP openly intimidating voters already. And then you see the response, or he's responding to that. Now, remember, he says immigrants don't vote in statewide elections. So here was one of the responses to him. Oops, let me get this up there. This was one of the responses. Illegal alien residing in Sacramento sentenced for aggravated identity theft, passport fraud, and voting by an alien. You can't make this up. You can't. Another one. I'm going to go through these. They're just too rich. Arkansas's murder rate is double California's, but Fox News won't tell you that. This was one of the responses. Oh, hold on. Is this it? My bus friends. Here we go. Let me get the correct one up. I got to get better at this screen sharing. I apologize. Oh, you know what? Here we go. The window. Here we go. They're really going to run this guy? So this was one of the responses. Which state has, to his stats, which state has the highest unemployment rate, the highest gasoline prices, the most homeless people, the largest budget deficit, the highest income tax, and who was the governor? Highest unemployment, California. Highest gas prices, California. Most homeless, California. Largest budget deficit, California. Highest income tax, California. And who's the governor? Governor Gavin Newsom. I mean, you can't make this up. Then you have somebody responded to the actual murder rate. Look what all of these cities have in common. They're run by Democrats. Let me make this a little smaller here for you. What it's showing is the cities. So these are red states down here. 1, 2, 3. Yes. But you see the big blue? Democrat mayor. There's only one Republican mayor out of those red states. In other words, it's the urban centers that are creating the chaos. So he cherry-picked Arkansas, but it's actually the urban centers. And let me sit there and show you exactly what I mean. Now, these are people responding to Newsom's memes. This isn't just one and done. There were 10 zillion of them. So here's somebody responding specifically to the murder rates in these red states. Look at this. Memphis, Tennessee, Democrat. St. Louis, Missouri, Democrat. Albuquerque, New Mexico, Democrat. Oakland, California, Democrat. Baltimore, Democrat. Detroit, Democrat. Cleveland, Democrat. Tulsa, Democrat. Stockton, Democrat. Houston, Democrat. Those are red and blue. But the point is, the 10 most criminal cities in the USA, they're all Democrat run. This is why Newsom will lose. Now, this was the best one. I'm going to need to move on from this topic, but I got to show you this. Gavin Newsom on electricity. Electricity prices have gone up 10% since January. Great work, Donald Trump. Electric bills are up 10% so far this year. Why they could keep getting costlier. You can't make this up. So Ted Cruz comes back with, hey, Grok, electricity prices have gone up 10% since January. In what cities and states are they the highest? So Grok responds, based on August 25, the highest states in electricity, Hawaii, 42.5, California, 35, this is cents per kilowatt, Connecticut, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, the highest city rates, Honolulu, San Francisco, New York, Boston, Hartford. Hey, Grok. So Cruz isn't done. Hey, Grok. What do the five states with the highest electricity rates all have in common? Where's Grok at? Oh, did Grok reply? Where'd it go? Okay, I have it over here. Okay. Ah, here we go. No, I don't have it here. Oh, my goodness sakes. What did I do with it? What did the five states? Well, they're all Democrat. Ah, here we go. Here we go. What do they have in common? Based on EIA data, made this a little bit bigger for those out there. Based on the EIA data, the top five, Hawaii, California, Connecticut, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, all have Democratic governors and strong renewable energy mandates. So that means high fuel import costs. So you see, the point is it's easy to destroy Newsom. So this meme war he's playing is really hurting him in the long run. Now, by attacking Donald Trump and the assassination attempt, what has Newsom done? He's made everything fair game. By crossing that line where he was mocking the assassination of Donald Trump, Newsom shattered the political guardrails. Nothing is off limits now. His affair with his best friend's wife, he slept with Ruby Rippy Turk, the wife of his campaign manager while serving the San Francisco mayor. Had an underage girlfriend scandal, dated a 19-year-old Brittany Mounts. How ironic, because that's what he did. He mounted her. Photographed drinking wine while underage. His private school hypocrisy, sending his urchins to elite private schools while enforcing public school lockdowns. Publicly acknowledges, I'm an alcoholic, and I went to rehab. Turns out he never went to rehab. So that's not off limits. Oh, William, you know, he's an alcoholic trying to recover, doing the best. No, that's no longer off limits. Obviously, the Fritz Lonnie gin there. The Getty family ties. The Getty family courtesans inherited all their Getty money. Now, they're all Mr. and Mrs. Green with the Getty families. But they're from oil. So every skeleton, every hypocrisy is now open territory. Democrats never learn. Once you normalize mockery of violence, the gloves are off now. That's how Trump got three SCOTUS justices. Republicans learned the new rules of the game and turned the tables by using the left's own modicum against them. Whether it's in the meme wars, whether it's through legislation, Republicans always respond, you did it first, we're doing it now. That's how we got three SCOTUS justices under Trump. So from my perspective, or our perspective, the right's, Newsom's campaign looks less like a strategic pivot and more like desperate imitation. Steve Bannon said Newsom's no Trump and said that Democrats are grasping for a fight they can't win. And that's where I agree. Right now, it's the early part. It's like a movie or the bad guy's winning, blah, blah, blah. But we know at the end it's going to turn around. That's Newsom. I hope he wins the nomination. He has a worse record than Kamala. So the trolling may energize the far left, but it alienates moderates. You think moderates like their president? Whether they like it, if they're indifferent to him, they're not going to like him being mocked at the assassination attempt. Could you imagine mocking Obama? See, that's how we look at it. All hell is going to break loose now. But they will alienate moderates, and it's going to reinforce the perception that Democrats are more interested in performance than governance. So what's this do? This all reveals a deeper problem. Democrats are taking MAGA tactics without the movement's authenticity or the grassroots firepower. The posts may be algorithmically optimized, but they're rhetorically hollow. The memes are slick, but they don't really have that populist punch. That punch that made Trump's digital dominance real. It's one reason they threw him off Twitter. Look, the tragedy may boost Newsom's name ID, but it's not going to build any trust. It's noise. So while the liberal echo chamber cheers Newsom's energy, the broader response has exposed the hollowness of this strategy. And obviously Trump's not going to stand by and take it. He fired back with a vintage Truth Social takedown. Head on over there to check that out. And most others are calling him the fool he is. Even MSNBC, as I said, admitted it's more parody than policy. Obviously the AI assassination cosplay, Newsom mimicking Trump's ear patch photo, casting himself as a martyr in the picture. Conservatives weren't the only ones calling it grotesque. Literally everyone did. And again, Newsom shattered the guardrails. Kid gloves are off. Nothing's off the table. Again, Democrats never learn. Newsom wanted a fight. He doesn't realize how down and dirty this one will get. All right. Bed Bath & Beyond avoids California expansion amid regulatory tensions. So, for those of you that don't remember, Bed Bath & Beyond did collapse and ended up in an asset acquisition. That was back in 2023. They closed over 300 stores nationwide. I had a friend of mine, rest in peace, Sydney, who used to be a store manager at one of those for a while. So they closed 300 stores nationwide. There were nearly 90 closures in California alone. Those are jobs gone. Probably a few thousand jobs in that. I say probably up to 3,000 jobs with those 90 closures. It was its largest market. Overstock acquired Bed Bath & Beyond's intellectual property. That means they acquired the name, in essence. Remember RCA TV? Its name now is a trademark that's been sold and bought off through and licensed to other companies. In fact, in sports, I want to say, not sports, there's a big-time sports name that is licensed now, and I can't remember which one, but it really doesn't exist anymore. They just licensed the name. So anyway, once Overstock bought this intellectual property, they rebranded as Beyond Inc., then reverted to Bed Bath & Beyond Inc. They reclaimed the ticker symbol just past not long ago, maybe a year ago. I can't quite remember. But the reason they ended up closing, they went from $1.6 billion in revenues 2023 to $1.4 billion 2024, the 514 in the first half of 2025. So what did they do, Overstock? They made a strategic pivot with Kirkland's. BB&B partnered with Kirkland's Home. And they rebranded this venture as the Brand House Collective. And what is this? Well, it's 313 stores in 35 states. So Kirkland operates 313 stores in 35 states, including 14 in California. Now, the 13 Kirkland stores in California will remain open under the Brand House Collective, but they will not be rebranded as Bed Bath & Beyond due to the California's regulatory and the cost barriers. So their future is up in the air. Why? Well, because all these other stores are going to be rebranded as Bed Bath & Beyond Home. And that rollout began in Nashville, Tennessee. The first store, new store opened there. So despite having a footprint in California, California is excluded from the rebranding. In fact, I've got, and this is what the executive chairman Marcus Lemonia stated. He talked about high taxes, regulatory complexity, and labor costs. So they're not going to reopen physical stores here in California. Let me show you the...
We've made the decision to not open in the state of California. And while it was a big place for business in the past for Bed Bath & Beyond, it's just too cost prohibitive. At some point, some business needs to take a stand and remind the state of California that while they keep reminding us that they're the fourth largest economy in the world, that's going to dissipate over time.
He was just saying this is why. So California customers will be served online. You can order through them through Bed Bath & Beyond Home online. You'll have a 24 to 48 hour delivery window, same day service in select areas. That I don't believe. Maybe they'll do that through Kirkland, through the 13 Kirkland stores. But B&B's return is real, but geographically selective. California was once its strongest market. It's now off the map. Now, that does raise questions about retail viability in highly regulated states where taxes are high, regulations are high, barriers to entry are extremely high. Now, this is signaling a shift toward leaner platform-driven retail models. They're going to try to open 300 new Bed Bath & Beyond stores over the next 2 years. Again, LeMondis called California one of the most overregulated, expensive, and risky environments for businesses in America. Let me repeat that. Quote, one of the most overregulated, expensive, and risky environments for businesses in America, unquote. So literally in every other state they're going to be in. Now, it's a California exit. They view it as practical. It's not about politics. It's about high taxes, fees, wages, and endless regulation that strangle growth. He warned that California's economic complexity is too cost prohibitive. He criticized California's budget surpluses as, quote, built on the backs of ordinary citizens. And he said BB&B's duty is to customers and shareholders, not to, quote, participate in a system that undermines both, unquote. In essence, why are we going to go to California? That's going to hurt us, and it's hurting the constituents there as it is now. Shoplifting is a massive reason a lot of stores have closed. Now, Newsom sat there and said, hey, I thought y'all went out of business, but good luck to you. Instead of saying, hey, LeMondis, why don't we talk? You know, see if we can bring you in. See if we can keep those 13 stores open long term. Probably 1,000 employees there combined. Even Bill Maher got into action, criticizing California's regulatory hurdles, talking about his marijuana business. Quote, it's just ridiculous. They do not make it easy, unquote. He slammed the bureaucracy, multiple inspections for solar panels, garage doors, silly, trivial stuff, and blamed Democrats. Quote, you make it impossible to bleeping do anything in this state, unquote. Now, Newsom's response, as I said, here's a quote. Quote, after their bankruptcy and closure of every store, like most Americans, we thought Bed Bath & Beyond no longer existed, unquote. He was taking a shot at him. This is the guy who's supposed to be creating jobs. Or, I'm sorry, supposed to be helping facilitate an environment where jobs can be created. But instead, he takes a shot at him. Now, these are the two punks who had no clue that they actually hurt Newsom. And the post continued, we wish them well in their efforts to become relevant again as they try to open a second store, unquote. He thinks that's funny. Here's what's not funny. A wave of corporate relocations from California to Texas. I talked about this in previous podcasts. Tesla, SpaceX, Oracle, Hewlett-Packard, Charles Schwab, the CBRE Group, McKesson, Chevron, Palantir Technologies, AECOM, FICO, Realtor.com, and John Paul Mitchell Systems. That's just a handful. And obviously he's hearing the backlash. This guy's clueless. The consensus is he's destroying California. And that B&B response reflects the poor optics in trying to attract businesses. Even the owner of one of the bigwigs over at In-N-Out is relocating the family to Franklin, Tennessee, citing the challenges of raising a family and doing business in California. And they're going to expand with new In-N-Out locations in Tennessee. Even again, going to Bill Maher, quote, why do you think so many companies have left the state and went to other states, unquote. Talking about California's highest unemployment rate in the U.S. Approximately, 500 companies, I can't remember, have left the state. Look, people, Bed Bath & Beyond's trying to claw its way back. Give them credit. 300 new stores, more jobs, and they skip California entirely, our state. Why? Because doing business here has become a nightmare. Sky-high taxes, endless red tape, retail theft out of control. So instead of asking what can we fix, Newsom's office mocks him on social media like it's a joke. That kind of arrogance is exactly why companies are leaving. And it's not just companies. Millions of middle-class taxpaying Californians. They've all packed up and left. And we're talking 1.6 million Californians. And 548 companies since 2018. And currently we have over 1 million unemployed. And you know what Newsom's response was a few months ago? Oh, no, our state's grown. Yes, it has, technically. 1.8 million illegals dependent on our social services. Think about this for a second, my friend. 1.6 million of the tax-paying middle class, the bulk of the tax-paying society in California has left to be replaced by 1.8 million illegals who, where most of their money via Western Union goes back to their home country with paying no taxes. The taxes they do pay is sales taxes, stuff they buy. The few that pay income tax are on stolen social security numbers. And most, if not all of these, are on welfare or social services of some kind. So you replace 1.6 million tax-paying middle class with 1.8 million who are taking from the system more than they give. And that's, Newsom says, that's good. This disconnect is real that Newsom has. I mean, he's ignoring the facts and spinning the optics. And when that happens, even flawed alternatives, they look much better. What do I mean by flawed alternatives? You know, it's not really as good as you think, but the grass is always greener on the other side. In this case, even with flaws, it's greener. That's the cost of pretending everything's fine when it's not. California is getting worse for business, not better. And Newsom's policies have made us number one in state unemployment. All right, let's get to the Cali Blitz. Before we get to the Cali Blitz, let me show you my favorite shirt. This is para mi Latinos. ¿Quién es más macho? Nosotros sabemos quién es más macho. Trump es más macho. Buy that shirt for me and wear it proudly. Take a pic and send it over to us. You can find that at grumbliesmedia.com or the QR code there. I'll leave it up for the final segment here. So, Cali Blitz, Representative Dave Mint faces criticisms for deleted expose. Look, California's, this is what he said. This is the deleted post. Pretty clear who's the bottom in the Putin-Trump relationship. That's a derogatory comment about being gay. And he drew backlash after that. He shared it, referencing a New York Times article and after the Friday meeting between Trump and Putin in Alaska last week. And it was removed by a couple days later. But obviously, as you can see, the screenshot has spread. Now, the Republicans, Will O'Neill, the Orange County Republican chair, denounced it as, quote, crude and derogatory gay joke, quote, unquote, unfit for a congressman representing several California cities. The Log Cabin Republicans of Los Angeles, that's the gay Republican group, highlighted Democratic hypocrisy, noting that homophobic jokes are okay to use as long as it's directed at your opponents, unquote. Former politician, current podcaster, William Del Pilar. Oh, that's me. Here's my take. Look, Democrats always brag about being the party of tolerance and acceptance, but that's total BS. Since the early 2000s, they've shown their true colors. Many refuse to accept Bush as president after that messy 2000 election. Yet they demanded we all roll over for Biden in 2020, despite all the questions swirling around it. They hounded Trump with bogus impeachment charges. Yet, how dare you talk about impeachment or bringing charges up on Obama or having any impeachment talk on Biden when he was president. They pounce on us for any joke that they find offensive to their sensitivities. They try and at times they succeed in muzzling our First Amendment rights. But when one of their own, like men, drops a crass homophobic zinger, crickets. We've got to keep calling out this blatant double standard, people. We can't let it keep going unchecked. By his own party's rules, Min acted like a bigot here. Undeniable. But watch, nothing will happen to him. And honestly, nothing should, if we're being fair. This is right. The free speech, however, the next time they come after our side with another faux hate charge, we hit them right back with the reminders of their own hypocrisy. Illegal immigrant accused in fatal Florida crash of the 2018 border crossing deemed tragic and should be freed. We all remember Harjinder Singh, the 28-year-old illegal from India who caused a deadly semi-truck crash on the Florida turnpike. That was about a week and a half ago. He attempted, and he knew he shouldn't be doing a U-turn on the freaking highway. His trailer jackknife collided with an oncoming vehicle, killing all three in there. Illegal, entered from here, California, San Ysidro, arrested by Border Patrol, released. Singh faces three counts of homicide, negligent manslaughter. Now, my take on this is based on what I've been seeing the last few days. Can you believe that there's a growing push from leftists to let him off easy after this horrible tragedy? There's even a massive petition with many of the signatures calling for counseling or community service instead of real punishment. And one clueless supporter recorded a video defending him with her kid right there in the frame. And why do I sit there and say that? My question to this bigot woman, what would she be saying if it was her child who got here, who got killed? That little head crushed. We all know she's screaming for his head. It's insane how Democrats roll with these double standards. And the worst part is we keep letting it slide. It's time to fight back. Throw the book at Singh. He showed zero remorse, and he knew damn well he shouldn't have pulled that stuff. The real outrage, this all happened because of California's lax laws and policies. This blood is squarely on Newsom and the Democrats' hands, and we can't let America forget that. Adam Schiff forms legal defense fund to prepare for Trump attacks. So California Democrat Adam Schiff, senator now, set up a legal defense fund because he doesn't want to pay a dime out of his own pocket, anticipating legal legal challenges from Trump. He announced a fund this last week to cover potential litigation costs. Now, he was a key figure in both Trump impeachments and promoting the lies and allowing faux intel to leak that shouldn't have been leaked. And he will be targeted. But that's not what they're going to get him on. Well, anyway, before I go on, though, the fund does comply with House ethics rules. It's capped individual donations at $5,000 annually. My take, this move by Schiff, totally predictable. He'd rather not touch a dime of his own cash if he can help it, and he's all about playing the victim card, just like most Democrats do. AOC, Jasmine Crockett, Eric Swalwell, and others. But here's the real kicker. This isn't some made-up BS. They've got legit dirt on him with that mortgage fraud probe. If the DOJ decides to hit him with charges, he's in serious, serious hot water. This ain't going to end well for Schiff, and honestly, it shouldn't. Remember how Democrats drilled, quote, "No one is above the law," unquote, nonstop since Trump came down the escalator. It's hilarious how they conveniently forget that now while whining about being targeted. Schiff's toast. And there you have it, my friends. Thank you for listening. And don't forget to like and share this podcast. And remember, these stories, when the topics of politics and who to vote for comes up, press them to remember what Democrats have done. We have to do that. I always say the CAGOP, the California Republican Party, can't be counted on. So it's up to us, the people, to fight our battles. Do not forget that. We have to fight our battles. They will not, and they have not. Again, before I go, hit like, thumbs up, and share this podcast. Then bookmark grumblingsmedia.com, and while you're at it, check out our new swag. You can also follow us on YouTube, Rumble, Apple, eSpotify, under the profile Grumblings Media. Until next week, this is William Del Pilar for Fired Up California. Stay vigilant, stay safe, and get involved, my friends.